This afternoon, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Acts. And we're going through the book of Acts on Sunday afternoons and Wednesday nights now. And we come to Acts chapter, the end of chapter 7, beginning of chapter 8, where Stephen is being stoned. This morning we looked at the fact that Jesus prophesied about and told his disciples about the last days and what were the things that would happen in the last days. He said that there would be great persecution that would come. When the church was first born, there was great persecution that came, and it didn't take very long. It wasn't far after the day of Pentecost. We see that Peter had his two great sermons on the streets of Jerusalem, with 7,000 and 5,000 men being saved as he preached. We see that literally hundreds of others were coming to know Christ, including members of the priesthood. We saw that a couple weeks ago, that even they were coming to know the Lord. However, there was still a strong group of people that were against the gospel and wanted nothing to be spoken of it. And these were many of these people were still the Sadducees, the high priest, people in the Jewish leadership within the city of Jerusalem. Stephen was made falsely accused by that group. We saw that last week. We saw that he preached a tremendous message, and really it was a historical message. And it was one that they couldn't really come against because he showed how faith had began with their father, that they would claim as their father, Abraham, as well. And he showed all the ways that God had worked through the generations in different people's lives, and that it was all pointing, and the purpose of it was to come and culminate in this Messiah who would come, and that they had been having the great privilege of having the Messiah come in their lifetime, yet they'd rejected him and murdered him, saw that he was crucified, and then he rose from the dead, and they rejected him as Messiah. And when he began to speak this, it cut them to the quick. And this is where we're going to pick up their reaction to Stephen's message and begin at verse 54 this afternoon. When they had heard these things, and that is what Stephen had preached, when they had heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Now, what does that mean? They were cut to the quick, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. They were greatly convicted. They had no real response to this. And one of the things that you will see, and we've shared this before, in sharing the gospel, there are really only three ways that a person can respond. One is with indifference. And really those three were seen by the Apostle Paul when he went to Mars Hill. He saw the indifference. Well, maybe we'll hear more of this another day, but it's not for us. He had those that openly rejected him, wanted nothing to do with it, called it foolishness. These would be in that camp, except they're even stronger than that because they wanted it silenced. They were really motivated by Satan. And Satan was the one that was directing them to stamp out the gospel before people could hear it. And then the third thing is acceptance. And if you don't accept the gospel, it only leaves you with the other two responses. And these men they knew that the things he said were true. They had no answer to them. And there's a person that we know, and this person is very anti-God, anti-gospel, and they had wondered where they could get some books so that they could teach their children all the inconsistencies in the Bible. Well, they've come to the point where they know that the truth is there, and they just want to silence the truth. They want to put it out and not have anything to do with it. That's the way a lot of people respond that don't want to hear the message because they don't want anything to do with Jesus. Well, that's where these people were. And it sees that they were cut to the heart. That is, they knew what they that they were, there was great conviction there, but their response was that they struck out at Stephen to silence the messenger, hoping the message would go away. Verse 55, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And I just want to pause here, because why should they become, as we're going to see in the next verse, they became extremely angry when he made that statement. Why should they become so angry over that? They could have said, oh, he's just hallucinating. Or they could have said, well, just leave him alone. He'll come to his senses. But no, when he said that, they immediately became just extremely, even angrier than they were. What drove them to this great anger? Well, part of it was the statement he made. I want you to see who he said was standing by God the Father. It says, he said, the Son of Man. Okay? Now, why should that declaration be something that would anger the Sadducees, the high priest, and these people? Because that is a name that Jesus gave to himself more than any other name, the Son of Man. And that he was God who became man. And that was the declaration he was making. That's why he wanted people to know him as the Son of Man, even though he was God, and proclaimed to be such. Remember, to some of these same people, Jesus had made the statement, before Abraham was, I am. And when he said that, they were going to pick up stones to stone him too. Why? Because he had really, with that statement, made a declaration that was easy for them to understand. He was declaring to be God. Because when he said, before Abraham was, I am, he was saying, I am equal to God and I existed with God because I am God. Now, this same person that they had hated so much and called himself the Son of Man all the time, Stephen is now seeing as he looks up into heaven. In other words, Stephen is saying, he's alive. He's alive. He's there. And that even makes them more angry. And so what do? Well, let's see, verse 55. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. Okay? Now, it's interesting. These same people that wanted the Romans to do their dirty work with Jesus and had him crucified, they were willing to pick up stones and stone Stephen, even though it was illegal for them to do that. The Romans would not allow the Jews to carry out capital punishment. It had to be done through the Roman courts. And even though they had law that was worthy of capital crimes, for example, remember Jesus in the account of the woman? They wanted Jesus to tell them to pick up stones and stone her because she'd committed a capital offense according to Mosaic law and that she'd committed adultery and was caught in the act of it. Yet Jesus wrote in the dirt and they walked away one by one and then finally asked the woman, where are your accusers? And she said, they are no longer here. And he said, well then go and sin no more. And the thing is, it was a capital offense. The Old Testament law said that there were things that would be stoned. Blasphemy was one of the reasons that you'd be stoned. But the Jews were very careful to follow Roman law because these men wanted to be in good standing with the Romans. This is, if you look back and look at their arguments that they brought against the apostles, it was, we don't want to upset, we don't want to lose our position of authority, and we don't want these guys to tell this story about Jesus where everybody begins to follow them, and we lose our authority with Rome and get Rome upset with us because we've got this movement going on. So let's just silence it. But now they become so angry, and you can really tell that they're satanically inspired because Stephen has done nothing, to generate this type of anger. No reason at all. I remember a number of years ago we took time as church people. We watched the videos on how to witness that were put out We took some tracks and stuff and were going around town witnessing. And there were three young people, two boys and a girl, and they were witnessing. I was witnessing to them. I saw them standing on the street, and I went over to talk to them, and I began to share the gospel with them. And the girl especially seemed rather interested, wanted to talk more, but the one guy just became extremely angry. And it was to the point of there was no reason he should have been that angry at me. And he began to tell them, do not listen to him, do not listen to him, you keep doing this, you're going to die, you will not. And he just was very, very, what was that all about? I really believe it was demonic in nature, that he was being inspired by the demonic realm to try and keep me silent, that I wouldn't share with these young people, especially when the girl and the other guy were interested in hearing on what I had to say. That's the same type of demonic response that is given to Stephen. They just want his silence, and they want him silenced now. And especially when he mentions that Jesus is alive at the right hand of God the Father. And so he says here, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And this is the first time that we're introduced to Saul, who later becomes Paul. But Saul, and he was there, and he was part of this group. And as you're going to see in just a moment, he was part of this group that was very anti-Jesus and anti-gospel and anti-truth. And so it says that they laid their clothes at his feet, which shows that he was compliant with what was going on there and complicit to the act, even though it doesn't indicate that he picked up stones, but he made sure that they were able to throw the stones easier. And it says, and they stoned Stephen, calling him God, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And so Stephen calls on the name of the Lord, and he asks God, Jesus, to receive his spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice. And then basically he says something that's very similar to what Jesus said when he was hanging on the cross. Lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. In other words, he gave up the ghost, or his spirit left him and was caught up to be with Jesus in heaven. And so these are the last words that Stephen says. Nothing that was worthy of being stoned. Nothing that he spoke at all was worthy of being stoned, but it was the words he spoke were giving them an opportunity in his message that he brought earlier to repent of their sin and turn to Christ and experience forgiveness. Now, what is the response of Saul? Saul is seeing all of this. Saul heard Stephen. Saul heard the message. Saul saw what the response was. He saw the attitudes and the actions of the people. Well, how is he going to respond? And Saul was consenting unto his death. So that's the first response. Saul was complicit with it. He was in agreement with it. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church. And so persecution of Christians is nothing new. As soon as the church was born, just about, it began to be persecuted. And that's exactly what Jesus said would happen. And we know it's a great spiritual battle because Satan does not want the gospel proclaimed. He does not want people saved. He wants people to remain in his lies and going down his path to death and in rebellion against God. And so we see the persecution came early, and it was against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And so that's where the persecution first began, was in the city of Jerusalem. That's where the church was birthed or born. And we know that there was a great number of people that were saved. Now remember, the people that got saved early, a number of the early Christians were from outside of Jerusalem. How do we know that? Going back, remember we said that there were all these people from all these different regions of the Roman Empire who were Jewish, who had come back for to Feast of Pentecost, because they were all supposed to come back to Jerusalem three times a year, Pentecost being one of them, to worship at the temple. And when they got back there, all of a sudden they hear the proclamation of the gospel about Jesus. But the strange thing is, they're not hearing it in Aramaic or in Hebrew. They're hearing it in their own language. You remember that? So we know that there were a number of Jewish people that were from all different regions. And many of those probably were amongst the ones that got saved in the preaching of Peter as they were on the streets of Jerusalem and when the 12,000, 5 and 7, were saved. And that others had been witnessing both in the temple and in the streets during this time. And so we see that persecution's breaking out amongst those who accepted Christ. There are people from all over the region there who are Jewish, who are now Christians. And they say, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And so we see that the persecution, what did it do? It drove them out from Jerusalem. Now, God will take that which Satan means for destruction and use it for His glory. And that's one of the lessons we need to learn from today, is that even though it may seem like it's a very dark hour, even though it may seem like, is the church even going to survive? When they've got this much opposition, they're not that many people and compared to all those around them that stand against the gospel, will they survive? Well, God knew they would survive. He would take care of His church. But one of the things He wanted is He wanted the gospel to go out. Remember, Jesus said, take the gospel to Jerusalem and into Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You don't do that fulfillment of His command if you all stay in Jerusalem. Now, it would have been easy for them all to stay in Jerusalem with the apostles, because that's where the apostles stayed. They remained for this time in Jerusalem. And as they remained in Jerusalem, they were there and they would be teaching and instructing and helping those Christians that remained in Jerusalem with them to grow in their understanding of God's Word and what God was doing through Jesus and through the gospel message. But He took that and He scattered these people. Because of the persecution, they left. But what did they leave with? They didn't have it when they came, but they left with it. That is the gospel message. And so they took it with them, and the amazing thing is, they didn't keep it silent. They weren't silent Christians. They went out and they proclaimed what had happened to them and what they knew had occurred in Jerusalem. They talked to people who were actually eyewitnesses of seeing Jesus crucified and then seeing Him alive again. They talked to eyewitnesses. They heard the gospel, and they took it out and they began to share it. One of the things that we need to understand is that God gives us opportunities to go out and to proclaim the gospel. Right now, there's a lot of problems. We talked about it this morning in the morning's message. We're talking about the great problems in the world and the spiritual battle we're in and everything else. But we need to realize that this is a great opportunity as well for the gospel to be preached. If we can go out and there's people that want to hear. And you don't think that there were people that wanted to hear about this event? Because I'm sure that some of this rumbling had already come home with other people as they left Jerusalem and said, there was amazing things that went on in Jerusalem. There was this man who claimed to be the Messiah. They crucified Him, but He rose again, and He was alive. And then He was resurrected and went into heaven. And now they came and said, yes, we believe in this event that occurred. And it says, and devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made a great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. So the response of Paul or Saul at this time to the original preaching of the gospel message was one of these guys that I want to silence it, and I want to silence it now. Now later on, when Paul gives his testimony and tells who he was, we understand why he did this. Because he says, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee of Pharisees of the tribe of Benjamin. He viewed himself and he had great pride in his heritage. He had great pride in the history history of his religion, and he had great pride in the fact that he was a Pharisee. And the Pharisees, although some of them did become Christians, the vast majority of them rejected the gospel, just as the Sadducees, even though they said they were the real Bible believers, they didn't believe when the Messiah appeared, and they didn't believe the prophets and what they really said. So they said they believed, but they didn't. And Saul was identifying with them. In identifying with them, what's amazing is he didn't even listen to the teacher of his own, to the teaching and the statement of his own rabbi. Gamaliel was Paul's rabbi. And remember what he had said when they brought in Peter and John, and they said, "What should we do? Should we kill these people? What should we do with them? Because this needs to be silenced." What did he say? "Don't do anything. Just let them go. If this is of God, it'll last. But if it's not of God," and then he gave some examples of other men that had said that they were the Messiah, or said this or said that, and they gathered a following, but immediately the following just dissipated and disappeared. And nobody even remembered those men. And he's saying, if this is the case with Jesus, that he's really not the Messiah, then just let them go and it'll just disappear. But if he is the Messiah, and this is an amazing thing, and I think it's because Paul's rabbi had made that statement, I believe Paul would have known of that statement, yet Paul was fighting against God. His rabbi said, "But if this is of God, we're not fighting against men to put out some type of man's philosophical statement. We're fighting against God. Do you understand?" That's really what he was saying. Do you understand who you're warring against? It's the one that we say that we serve and believe in, and now we're warring against him because we're not going to believe in his Messiah that he sent to earth to save us. And that rabbi was very wise in that statement, but Paul didn't listen to it. Instead, what did Paul do? Well, he went around to stamp it out and to silence them, and he didn't listen to his rabbi. Just leave it alone, and if it's not of God, it'll disappear. But it was of God, and Paul was fighting not against men, and he wasn't fighting on behalf of the Pharisees, he wasn't fighting on behalf of the Sanhedrin, but he was really fighting on behalf of Satan, and he was warring against God. And we're going to see in about two lessons, not this next week, but probably a couple weeks from now, what Paul's response is when he meets Jesus and what Jesus' words are to him. Because remember who Paul's warring against. Because God remembers and knows what our hearts are, and he knows what we've heard, and he knows how we're responding to what we've heard. And so God is dealing with Paul even now. And may we understand that we may have people that we think are so far gone, there's no way that God could reach them. But God's already working in hearts. Paul heard the message of Stephen. Paul saw the unjust death of Stephen. Paul saw the horrendous anger over nothing that was expressed towards Stephen simply because he proclaimed God was standing at the right hand of God. Jesus was standing at the right hand of God the Father. May we realize that God will use us to touch people's lives, and may good things can come out of persecution. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand these things. And Lord, I pray that you'd just speak to us through your word and help us to apply these truths to our lives. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn to "I'll Tell the World That I'm a Christian." Let me get the number.